Sister, woman, sister, can you still feel any pain? Or have they robbed you of your anger while putting Thorazina in your vein? Sister, woman, sister, have the walls grown up so high that you can't even dream of leaving and you've forgotten how to fly?
Hi, I'm Irene Yarrow, and this is Every Woman's Space.
They take away your child and they locked her up in some juvenile hall to grow up weary and wild.
This is a program by, for, and about women, all kinds of women, lesbian, bisexual, heterosexual, and celibate, well known and not known, of different racial and ethnic groups, of all classes and all ages. This is a space for us to be together, to talk and listen, explore our culture, and to grow. And it's a place for communication between me and my guests, between us and you out there. We take phone calls on many of the shows, and we will later tonight take calls. And I always ask you to write me letters, and many of you do. I got a lot of letters this week, and I haven't answered them yet, but I will soon. And I guess that's all I have to say about communication. Tonight, Every Woman's Space is called Reentry, Women and Education. And three women are here from Project Chance, which is a new grassroots educational program for adult women. And first of all, maybe you can all introduce yourselves and just tell us a little bit about who you are.
I'm Ellie Belkin. I work at the Women's Center of Brooklyn College.
I'm Lavinia Penson, and I'm the project coordinator for Project Chance.
My name is Catherine Conroy, and I'm a community developer with Children and Youth Development Services and a member of the community advisory board of this project.
Okay, now, I guess to start off with, could somebody give a description of what Project Chance is?
Well, Project Chance, Alternatives for Women Return to School, that's its full name.
Mm-hmm.
It's a program at Brooklyn College, but with community sites for women who want to return to college, return to work, upgrade and improve their skills. It has three components: research, recruitment, and reentry. That's the first component. It has an academic component that's composed of a reentry course and credit courses, or I should say a non-credit reentry course and credit courses. And the third component is counseling and supportive services that involve tutorial services, family, and peer group counseling.
Mm-hmm. What do you aim the project at, any particular kind of women or all sorts of women? Is it a bilingual program?
The program is for all kinds of women, women of as many ethnic groups as want to come and participate in the program. We do not have a bilingual component as yet. If we get money, and I hope we do, we might be able to offer that in the future. We do have bilingual people on our 7-member staff. We have 4 bilingual people,
mm-hmm,
speaking Spanish, French, Russian, and English.
Great. Okay, how did it begin? And sort of, what is the general philosophy of the program?
I think it came a lot out of experiences primarily at the Women's Center, but also at the Women's Studies program at Brooklyn College. The Women's Center came about through a lot of pressure that was put on the college from women who felt that there was a need for this. And a lot of this came about because this was one of the recommendations that Brooklyn College have a Women's Center, of a study called Project Second Start, which was funded by the Whitney Foundation and done by 3 women, Suzanne Paul, Jolly Robinson, and Gloria Smith. And this was a study into the educational needs of low-income women in adult programs at Brooklyn College. And as a result of, you know, looking at some of the results of this report, and also results in terms of questionnaires and direct contact from a big return to school conference, which the Women's Center co-sponsored in 74 with the Y of Brooklyn. We found that a lot of women, adult women particularly, were very alienated from an institution of higher education because the primary focus was on younger students.
Mm-hmm.
And also because many of the people in power who were determining curriculum and making administrative decisions and deciding what kind of services were needed were men. And so for a lot of reasons, the needs of the adult women just weren't being met. And, you know, all of this pointed out that a lot of women were isolated. They didn't know what was available. They had very little contact outside of their homes, outside of people they met at stores, at their kids' schools, and places like that. And they didn't know about options. And even women who did felt like they were very weighed down with responsibilities for other people, whether it was children or mates or parents or relatives who were ill or something like that. And it's always been very difficult for women to be concerned about what their own needs were and to say, well, I would like to do this,
mm-hmm.
and you know, try to find some way to rearrange the rest of their life and their other responsibilities. Of course, traditionally there's been very little support for women to do that. And I, you know, I think that a lot of these experiences have, you know, led to the creation of the project, which was really, which is now a result of a HEW grant, which we just got.
Mm-hmm.
Although we first wrote the grant proposal in 1974 and went through a kind of discouraging period where it didn't get funded, and we did it over again this year and wondered, you know, whether we were going to get funded, and we did.
Mm-hmm. You had, the project hasn't actually started yet in terms of the classes beginning, right? Because I was going to ask you, like, what kind of women are you actually reaching? But you wouldn't know the answer to that yet, or would you?
The formal classes haven't started yet. We planned, if things go according to our plans, to have those in place by the last week in October. I'd like to just kind of say this in conjunction with what Ellie has said. The proposal speaks directly to three components that women usually are involved in. It's their isolation, it's their preoccupation, it's their negative socialization.
What's preoccupation?
That means that almost all women are, at least a great deal of them, are involved for a great deal of their time with taking care of other people,
mm-hmm.
duplicating themselves so that other people can go out and keep the economy going. They're taking care of their children, they're taking care of their husbands, they're taking
mm-hmm.
care of ill family members, they're just constantly reduplicating themselves. They're sending themselves out to work outside of the home as well as working inside of the home. And
how do you address that? How do you influence them to change that?
Well, we're going, the curriculum, and we have a very good curriculum developed by the Project Chance curriculum developer, will address those things, especially that isolation and that negative socialization.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow women just, as Ellie said before the program started, feel very guilty of doing things only for themselves because they've been socialized that way.
I think a lot of it is going to be the fact that we're going to be going out to community sites, and we're not saying to a woman, well, you can't be involved with us unless you make the trip all the way to Brooklyn College, when it may take her an hour to get to Brooklyn College and an hour to get back.
Also,
and
she might
have to pay for childcare, and she may, you know, she'll have to pay the additional transportation. And by making it easier and making making all these courses and support services available in the community,
mm-hmm.
it becomes easier for a woman to hook in. And later she can make her decision, does she want to go back to college? Does she perhaps want to go back into the paid workforce?
Mm-hmm.
Or does she want to plow back the extra skills and the extra insight she's gained into the community?
Yeah,
I think one of the most important things, too, is that it isn't a total package that's being brought to the community. That, in fact, the community was brought into the project as soon as the funding was gotten in May. And that community input has helped to shape package that's now going back to the community.
How does that work?
The way it works is that the people who wrote the proposal for the Project Chance, which again was funded through HEW, out of the Women's Studies and the Women's Center at Brooklyn College, put together a board that touched not only geographic areas but also interest areas that concerned women. So you have Downtown Welfare Advocacy Center on the board, the Children Youth Development Services in Park Slope, the Union Center for Women, which is basically in Bay Ridge, the Sisterhood of Black Single Mothers, and the National Congress of Neighborhood Women, also the YWCA Women's Center in Brooklyn. So you have a number of groups who are both geographically based and interest group based, and this brings in community and interest group support right from the beginning, so that on the advisory board, members of these groups were involved both in shaping the program and in hiring the staff who then go back to the community and implement the program.
I just also wanted to pick up on the third of the things that that you said, the phrase negative socialization. I really wouldn't mind having that broken down and defined a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's really the women's idea that somehow we shouldn't be doing something for ourselves. You know, we know that these options are out there, but we're somehow less important. Let's let our kids get into daycare, get into kindergarten, get into high school, whatever we do very often to put off taking care of our own needs, very often putting it off on other responsibilities, which are real responsibilities. You know, but stop us sometime as women.
Right, right.
I think that's something that we find, too, at the agency where I work. Basically, we're a youth-oriented agency, and it isn't until the children and youth are taken care of in terms of their health needs and their education needs and their recreation needs, that their mothers and related aunts and older sisters then come forward and say, all right, now that's taken care of. Now, is there something for me? And it's, I think that's the socialization where mothers, sisters, aunts feel that, that children and youth should be taken care of first. And while that's laudable, it leaves a woman kind of waiting for those other things to be taken care of before she can find things that she needs for herself.
Do you have a sort of an idea what age group women you're going to be reaching mostly? Because I get from the talking here, I get the feeling that you're thinking of women, say, starting at about 30 years old or so and on up. What do you think about that?
That will probably, that age group will probably account for a significant number of women that will be involved in the project, but we really have no cutoff age. It's 21 and over.
That's not a determining factor. One thing which we have discovered, and what we'll talk a bit about the whole tuition situation later, is that women, the reentry course and all of the academic and personal support services are free, but credit courses, which will eventually, starting in the spring, will be available at the community sites and at Brooklyn College. Unfortunately, women will now have to pay tuition for. When we first conceived of this, there was no tuition in City University.
At the City Colleges.
And so that's a serious problem, and we're trying to work on getting some special tuition money. But we're not in a position to guarantee anything. You know, and I think that that's something.
Were you going to say something about older women?
Yeah, older women. Women over 65, people over 65 who apply to CUNY go tuition free.
I wonder if that's just a fact that is generally known at all.
I was surprised to hear it, but it also means that it's a group that we're reaching out to.
Right.
Because I think that we also want to get away from the idea that education is just something you do when you're quite young so that you can have a career in some way.
Right.
But that it can have, you know, very significant value in itself. And so we will be reaching out to women of this age.
Yeah, I think it's a real problem and a sad thing in our culture that we don't value age. Older people are not respected. They don't have a place in society, really. And they internalize those feelings and don't think of themselves as somebody who should go back to school at an age of, say, over 65. And I don't think that would be a bad thing to change at all. I think that would be really good.
And one of the things that the project affords us is an opportunity to explore and develop new techniques for teaching or reaching this population.
Right.
Whereas the general college curriculum has always been geared towards the younger student. We have that component in this program.
That's terrific.
Through our research, there's a research component, and part of the ongoing research will be a continuous feeding back of the results that these and things that these women are experiencing, and we'll able to know if the techniques we're using are actually working or if they're
gaining something from them. That was also like that you have students on the community advisory board too, and that is another way of feedback too, that even people who are planning the program from the very beginning are include students who might be in it.
And the students, like everybody else who's been on the community advisory board, have had a tremendous say in shaping the program. I mean, it's important to realize that the community groups, the students, were on the community advisory board before there was a project staff. And they were the people who looked through hundreds and hundreds of resumes and then, you know, worked on interviewing. And I think that it's something which to me makes the program kind of different, that we didn't put together a program and go out to a community and say, this is good, you know, this is what we're doing, this is what we think is good for you, mm-hmm. would you like to be on our board? And then the board kind of becomes a rubber stamp.
Mm-hmm.
But we've used that from the beginning, and we've also used that type of community input in the way Lavinia pointed out in terms of research, so that rather than going out and saying, well, we have these courses put together, you know, we think you'd like to take them.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing a tremendous amount of research, both formally and informally, with different people, and starting to put together a course in terms of what they say they need,
mm-hmm.
what they say they're interested in.
Mm-hmm. That's really good.
And another interesting thing is that students that participate in the program will also have an opportunity to sit on the advisory board.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and hopefully at some point get academic credit. This is something which we always try to work in, it's a very important community experience, and one of the things which eventually we'll explore is students getting credit for some of these, you know, some of the things which they do which aren't done in classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And it means that we're also very concerned with trying to get academic credit for the life experience which relates to the lives of very many women who haven't necessarily gone out and started a business or written a book or painted a lot of pictures, because those are women who in a special program at Brooklyn College and at other colleges can probably already get some life experience credit.
Mm-hmm.
But we're working with an educational testing service model.
What does
which
that mean?
Well, the educational testing service are actually the people who brought you the college boards and the graduate records exams. And generally, I have very little, you know, good to say about them, but they have been funded last year to put together a model really which focuses on women's competencies in the area of homemaking and volunteer work.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can focus on what women have actually done, what they're capable of doing. And it works out different competency systems, sort of, so that a woman, for example, who's raised a child could and should, I think, be eligible to get 3 credits in child psychology. Because I think she certainly knows more about the subject than somebody without kids who's read the textbook.
Uh-huh.
And
so those would be actual college credits applied toward a degree.
Yeah, but again, this is something which is very experimental, and I think this is one of the things that HUW liked about the program, which made them think about funding it. But we're also in a position where we're going to have to maneuver at Brooklyn College, and we can't say, yes, we can give credit, we'd like to give credit,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to be really trying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the focuses that we're going to have.
Good.
The ETS instrument that we will be using is the ICAN test. And
what's that?
It's a test, like Ellie said, that women will be given, and it will equate their life experience in the home or outside of the home with certain bodies of academic knowledge or certain college courses.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ellie said, the example that she gave of a woman that has raised children does know child psychology.
Mm-hmm.
A woman that has managed a budget in her home does know business administration or something about accounting.
Mm-hmm.
And women have to be informed
mm-hmm.
of this so that they mm-hmm. will know that what they're doing inside of the home is valuable.
Right, so it's sort of...
Yeah, I'd like to take that back to what Lavinia said before about isolation. A lot of the way women are isolated is in terms of the vocabulary. Women raise children, they manage an income, they manage meals, and yet because they don't use the vocabulary of child psychology, nutrition, and fiscal management, they're isolated from the people who, have those skills.
Mm-hmm.
And so through the ICAN series, you're simply, I don't like to use the word validating the experience they have, but rather you're giving it the vocabulary that takes them out of the isolation of being locked into the home, and it puts them out into the vocabulary of those who are, academics, people
mm-hmm.
who have jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have the proper vocabulary for the skills they've already acquired.
Very good.
Yeah, the place we're really going to start looking at this is in the reentry courses.
I was just going to say, we should probably get to describing the reentry courses.
These are courses which we're going to start giving, I think, at the end of October at different community sites, at the YWCA of Brooklyn on Atlantic and 3rd Avenue, at CYDS, which is on 9th Street and 4th Avenue, at the Union Center for Women, which is on Ridge Boulevard in Bay Ridge, and also at a Brownsville site, which we haven't worked out completely right now. And I think that this is a place, for one thing, for women to get together who are considering making some change in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what they're going to do. They don't have to be committed to going back to school or going to work outside the home.
Mm-hmm.
But who want to look at some of the things that they've been doing, talk with other women who are in similar situations, begin to work on some skills which if they were to go back to school or if they were to work outside in the home, they would need.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we've kind of, you know, begun to work on what a curriculum might be for this. And I think that the important thing, you know, about the curriculum is that we have worked out sort of a core curriculum which is very flexible, and we see all these things as being very adaptable. We may have a women in one site who, you know, are white homeowners, of a certain, you know, background and so on, a certain educational level. And, you know, we would adjust the class in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Readings would be different. In another place, we may have a heavily third world group. We may have one group of women who are bilingual.
Right, if you happen to get
and,
a group.
And so for each group, or a group which is very, very heterogeneous,
mm-hmm.
for each group, we would try to make some adjustments in terms of what's read, in terms of the discussion,
mm-hmm.
and we would be focusing in terms of the training that the facilitators would go through, and being very aware of what the differences are,
mm-hmm.
between women in terms of cultural differences, ethnic differences,
so it's
racial
very
differences.
Grassroots.
Yeah, and in that way, we want to be very responsive,
mm-hmm.
you know, to the women involved.
And what Ellie is saying is that the students themselves, the women themselves, will have input into curriculum development.
Mm-hmm.
If they're interested in anything, say a group of women are interested in something in their community, they can participate in the curriculum development that will address itself to that particular subject.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that we've started considering is having women from the community work as co-facilitators in the group. Because we're very concerned with dealing with the issue of hierarchy, the assumption that the person who is the, you know, the so-called teacher of the class is the person who has all this knowledge which somehow they're giving out. And we're very aware of that one of the important things about the project is that it's kind of a mutual outreach. I mean, we're reaching out in some way, but we're also learning a tremendous amount,
mm-hmm.
to women in communities who are in some way, you know, reaching out to us and teaching us a great deal. And so the course is really going to focus a lot on dialogue, and
mm-hmm.
there'll be places where even when we are dealing with skills, or even when we are talking about the ETS model, the ICANN list that Lavinia mentioned, I think we're going to have a big focus on asking questions, not just saying, well, this is what you have to learn, but really looking at you know, at why this is important to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Why does a college think that this is a skill that you need?
Mm-hmm.
Why does a college value this type of experience over this other type of experience?
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, women can get some sense of what's been happening in their own lives in relationship to what's been happening outside, to assumptions, you know, that are general in society.
Mm-hmm. What about rap groups? You had said something about that.
That's going to be a part of the support services. We will have peer group counseling and family counseling and rap groups and maybe CR groups and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
The support services are a very integral part of the program. We'll have tutoring in the academic skills and that kind of support. It's going to be the academic and credit courses and the reentry courses, as Ellie said, it's going to be kind of loosely structured, and it will not be the usual traditional type of teacher who is the source of all knowledge and students who are not the sources of any knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It will be a dialogue between students and facilitator,
mm-hmm.
or teacher, and they'll learn from both, hopefully.
Yeah.
And then now, the reentry courses are starting really soon. They're starting in a few weeks.
Yeah, yes. They should last about 10 weeks and be 3 hours a week. And
they're free, right?
They're free. Mm-hmm. They'll be meeting once a week.
Mm-hmm. And they won't have college credits, but what they'll be doing is preparing women who do want to go back to college or want to decide if they do, or who want to re-enter the labor market and maybe want to do it at a level which will give them a little more advantage than they would mm-hmm. have.
Or right. women that are already in the labor market that just want to upgrade their skills, mm-hmm. maybe take another job or get a promotion or something mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm. Or women also, I think, who aren't planning to do any of those things, because I think that the reentry course looks at a lot of issues and asks a lot of questions. Like, we're sitting here and we're kind of assuming that women have a hard time going back to school, and I think one important question that it asks is, you know, well, why are women in a situation where going back to school has to be a problem?
Mm-hmm.
And to really look around at some of the things that have been happening, you know, that make it difficult. And I think that both through the reading and through the discussion, it can be a good experience for somebody who's not making those sort of outward changes.
How will they? What do you think will motivate them to join the program at all if they're not really, if they haven't, say, already decided, well, I want to go back to college and I heard about this program, it can help me get ready, but to reach the other kinds of women who haven't given much thought to the questions yet, how will they?
Probably because it's coming to them. The groups on the community advisory board that are actually community-based are doing a lot of the outreach and talking to a lot of women that we know and saying, this is coming. I know how you're locked into this community. I know what this community has. Here's something that's coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what it has for you. Let's see what you have for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the community advisory board really does some of the functioning of doing the outreach and bringing women in and really presents a lot of the issues and problems in itself.
That sounds good.
I think also because a lot of women do want to break through their isolation
mm-hmm.
and don't have a program for themselves on how to do it, because
mm-hmm.
that's part of being isolated. And they see a sign someplace and about a program, and they don't necessarily fully understand what it is, but they know that it will put them in contact with other women
mm-hmm.
and it will get them out of their routine, their rut. In some instances, you know, for a while. And I think that'll be attractive, even without a clear goal. And I think that's good.
Do you think there'll be women who read the signs and say, well, why are they having these courses just for women, and sort of be frightened away by that? Do you have any ideas on that?
It's a tough question.
That's okay.
I think that in some cases, you know, that will be true. I don't think, you know, that it's completely clear. It's a program which is geared for adult women, and we think that adult women have special problems. I mean, it's been demonstrated in terms of, you know, women who've come to us and said, I'd like to go back or to school, or I'd like to go do this, but I can't because of these, you know, these difficulties.
Tell me, like, what are some of the difficulties they would mention?
Children a lot.
Mm-hmm.
For many of them, feeling guilty, perhaps, about leaving a child, particularly a young child, in daycare mm-hmm. For a while, pressure from family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the concept that a woman should be home and that she should be with her child as many hours as is physically possible,
mm-hmm.
or she should be, you know, doing certain other things. And a lot of pressure, and some of the things that we talked about
a lack of self-confidence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Again, what we talked about before, a lack of, you know, feeling that her needs were important, a sense certainly for the long run, for the woman who's thinking about going back for a degree, that she doesn't want to go to school with people who are perhaps, in many instances, young enough to be her children,
mm-hmm.
or perhaps her grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And how is she going to fit in, you know, with these people? They're talking about, you know, other
right.
things, growing up in some
right.
sense, dating,
right.
other types of concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in a different place. Her children have grown up, if she's had them, and moved out.
Yeah, and it's time for her to start thinking about her own
herself,
life. Maybe
right.
beginning a new life. That's a perfect cue for the song. We've picked out a song that we want to play. It's Meg Christian, and I think it's called Hello, I'm Ready, or something like that, but it's all about women being ready to make a big change in their lives.